But here's the grand truth. While the world insists that power, possessions, popularity, and pleasures of the flesh bring happiness, they do not. They cannot. What they do produce is nothing but a hollow substitute for the blessed and happy state of those who keep the commandments of God. The truth is that it is much more exhausting to seek happiness where you can never find it. However, when you yoke yourself to Jesus Christ and do the spiritual work required to overcome the world, He and He alone does have the power to lift you above the pull of this world.
Aloha, this is Stephanie Colvin at LDS, Real People, Real Lives Podcast. And this week's episode is Finding the Lord's Grace. Welcome. You know, I promised many times when I came back this year that I would share the details of what happened last year. And as I continue to push forward in the podcast and providing topics and things that I'm inspirationally inspired to just tackle and share and hopefully be able to help uplift you in the ways that you need it most, that the Spirit can inspire your heart and just remind you that you are so loved, that mercy is given perfectly. I am not sure of how much I want to share because I don't really want to go back there. But again, being led by the Spirit, I am going to share some things. And I would like to talk to you today about my husband. He is someone that I met in 2011 after being married twice. I had two marriages. The first one is I had two sons, and it was a very quick marriage, married at 19, divorced by the time I was 23, 24. The second marriage, I had met my second husband when I was 27, 28. We got married. We were married for about 10 years. And then unfortunately, we were divorced. And after that, I had just decided I was done with marriage. I always married for the heart. I am a diehard sucker for the heart and for feelings. I am just somebody who is very much into the feelings and the heart and the spirituality of it. And that's why I've been married so many times. It was not a blessing unto me. I needed to balance it with guidance from my loving Heavenly Father and use the intellect that He had blessed me with as well. And I did not do that, which is typical, I think, of the life that we lead and the path that we walk and our foolishness and our young naivete and also in our stubbornness to do things kind of our way. And that's kind of what I was doing. So fast forward to 2011, I had left my second husband January of that year. And come August, had met my second husband through, or actually third husband through, a dating app. Now, I was in my late 30s, and for all of you who don't know, it is so hard to make friends in your late 30s. Being that I had my kids very early on in my life, I didn't really have adult friendships because I went right from high school into family living. And trying to make adult friendships outside of the church was very difficult. So I had jumped on this app in hopes of making some friends, not only locally, but in other areas that I could travel. I love to travel. I'm very adventurous. I love doing new things. And I had come across this picture of this big, beautiful man who was living his life, and he was a teacher. He is a teacher, and had been involved in some things in Vegas, was doing traveling, had been single his whole life, and was out there just doing his thing. So we connected through this app. We started chatting back and forth. We exchanged numbers. We texted. And then we decided that since we hit it off, that we would meet at the middle point, which for us was Bakersfield. So we ended up meeting at a restaurant at the Marriott Hotel there. And it was such a sweet experience for us that now we can look back with our 2020 vision and see the Spirit just guiding us along. And we were receptive, thankfully, even though we were very much out in the world. And this is that mercy that I'm talking about, that perfect mercy that God extends to his children, even when you're unaware. How often, think about how often you're blessed and you don't even recognize the blessings, okay? Oftentimes I say prayers and I thank Heavenly Father for the blessings that I recognize and for the blessings that I do not see. So when he had come through the double doors and I had walked around this pillar that was blocking my ability to see him, my line of sight, right when I had come around the pillar and he had walked through the double doors, it was like a movie. Everything slowed down. It was the most surreal. It was nothing like I had never experienced in my entire life. And as we got closer, it was like this invisible tether had been created between the two of us and connected us together. And he was just radiating this light. I mean, sunbeams were coming out of his eyes, and I was just enthralled, and I felt like I knew him forever. And we very quickly got to know each other because of the distance. And then, of course, we're adults. There's no time to waste. And he had an injury and he needed to have a surgery. I remember he was going to hire a nurse to come and take care of him because there was no family locally to help him. And I was working from home and I said, you know what, I'll just come and help you. And I can do that for 8 weeks, work from your house and help take care of you. And it was during that 8 weeks that we fell in love. Those mornings of having to help honestly shower him. And I was used to at that time, I had been, it's just my nature is to take care of people. And it wasn't a big deal for me and it wasn't a big deal for him. It was a little awkward. And we just laughed through all of those awkward moments, those just very awkward moments we laughed through. And it was such a sweet time for us, those 8 weeks that we fell in love. And fast forward, he wanted to know about the religion of my family because it was always very prevalent in my mom's home. However, I was not living the religion, but I had always believed in the church. However, I just struggled. Because of my life and the things that I had been through, it was so hard to reconcile the way that I had chosen to cope with my life, which was through the vices that I was using, plus trying to pursue my gospel path, and just the constant guilt that I was feeling from the things that I was doing. I just walked away. Instead of trying to figure it out with the Lord, I went my own way. And so I want you to know that I've always known the church is true. And even during the time that I did not attend and I was not active, I was still very spiritually driven. I still journaled. I still prayed. I still recognized and acknowledged the Lord, which was a blessing unto me. and grateful for the basics that were taught to me as a child in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I'm grateful for my parents who always did the right thing when it came to church and getting us there. So, you know, I understood that he wanted to know more. My older brother had sent the missionaries to our home, and they just kind of popped in. And so we started making appointments with them, and I got to watch my husband's conversion experience, which was very sweet and filled with miracles, and the Spirit and Christ were ever present. And it was just a beautiful, undeniable experience. But we inevitably came to the point where he was asked to get baptized. And of course, he said yes. And I knew what that was going to take for us to, for him to get baptized. They would want us to either move out because we had been living together, or we would have to get married. Now, my husband, being my husband, there was no way he was going to continue the relationship if I had moved out. So he wanted to get married. And I was saying, I don't want to get married. I don't want to make this into an official by the law of the land type situation. I don't want to do this again. And so I had to go home. I went home for a week to really think about it and spent time with my family and just kind of let my mind just take a break from the whole situation. Just nourish myself with a lot of love and laughter and good times before I returned back to Ventura to my live-in boyfriend at the time. I remember hitting my knees in my parents' bedroom and having a very honest and open discussion with Heavenly Father about my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, and what to do. And the Spirit clearly communicated to me that if I did not basically put up or shut up at this point, that I was going to lose him because he was going to move forward. You see, he was a sponge in the middle of an ocean or a lake or a body of water of some sort that had just soaked up all the water. He soaked up all of the knowledge that he had been given. He loved the gospel. Every single teaching, nothing was questioned. He understood it clearly. He was just one of those people that knew it, felt it, loved it, and wanted to know more, agreed with it, and just soaked it up. So on my way back to Ventura, I came back to him and decided that we would go ahead and get married. And I remember I was just filled with trepidation. I was so scared, but at the same time, I believed in my Heavenly Father and my Savior, in the prayer and the revelation. And so I pushed forward because I knew that my Father in Heaven knew my heart of hearts. Since I was little, even after all of the abuse and the sexual abuse, I had always wanted to be married to somebody who would hold the priesthood, who would be a servant unto the Lord, who would love the gospel with all of their heart and would walk that path with me. And Heavenly Father had not forgotten this little girl's wish, this little girl's dream, this little girl's desire, even though this little girl had become an adult and had become jaded somewhat, had forgotten this desire, had let it go, feeling like it just was never going to happen. Because what active LDS man would ever be interested in me? All of my problems, everything that comes along with me, they would have to be extremely non-judgmental and very understanding. And God put this wonderful man in my life who was extremely non-judgmental and very understanding, who soaked up the gospel, who gratefully took on the priesthood and ministers to his family. He struggles with it. His anxiety can interfere and become a block sometimes. And we're working on that. You know, this life is nothing but work of learning and progression. It is painstaking at times, and at other times it is blissful. It is beautiful, and it is comforting. I'm grateful to my Heavenly Father and my Savior for loving me enough to be so merciful to my husband and I when we were living a very worldly life, to work with us and bring us along. Now, fast forward, it's been 12 years. We're still very active in the church. We love the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are growing within the body of Christ in the church. And we are spreading the gospel and doing a lot of missionary work within our own family, which our family needs. So my husband is one that is challenged. His greatest challenge is his mental challenges. I don't know why mental illness is so prevalent in this time and dispensation. I don't know if it's always been here and it's just been undiagnosed. I don't know if it's just a sign of the times because we live, in a first world country with so many prosperous technological advances, and we can find ourselves, you know, with time on our hands, twiddling our thumbs and doing things that maybe we shouldn't be doing and getting involved in things that we shouldn't be getting involved in. I don't exactly understand it all. All I know is that we have a mental health problem in this country, and I am surrounded by mental health issues, from my children to my husband to myself. I can't honestly look at one person that doesn't have issues in some sort of way. So as I boil this down to just my husband, I want to share the miracles and the beauty that can come through the people that the Lord blesses us with. As I mentioned, my husband is one of the most non-judgmental and understanding people that I have ever met. He soaked up the gospel and anything spiritual or has to do with Christ like a sponge. He loves it. He is my rock when it comes to the gospel. He walks this covenant path with me. When I shake, he is my steadiness. So last year, when I was alone because we were having a lot of issues within our marriage, our family, our home, because of mental illness, it was really hard. It was very difficult to not be able to lean on my husband. But he needed that year. I needed that year to go through the throes of this experience on earth, to have all of these hardships and the pains that comes with it. Massive depression. You know, I've never had depression like I've experienced last year. My husband and I are spending a lot of time right now rebuilding our relationship after last year. Last year really pulled us apart. And now this year, we're really recognizing that we're looking at each other and we're kind of starting back at ground zero and rebuilding our relationship. The one nice thing is that we are adamant in our covenants with each other, and we are adamant that we are united, that we are committed into our marriage, and that there's no divorce. I'm grateful for that security. Finally, to have somebody who can match my conviction, my commitment, my dedication to the relationship. And I love my husband for that. I am so grateful to him for his devotion to our family. But we are rebuilding our relationship at this point. and trying to figure out ways to reconnect as we have changed so much in the last year. As we have both kind of gone through our Gethsemane moments throughout 2022 and parts of the beginning of this year, what we have learned, especially what I have learned, is that that time has taught us to live by faith. And I'm talking the kind of faith where they send you out with nothing, okay? They send you out on a mission to go and live and rely upon the Lord for all of your needs, for bedding, for food, for clothing, you know, brush your teeth, toiletries, things like that, being able to take a shower, you know, where you're going to get your next meal, your next drink, you know, your next need for maybe a medication or something. I mean, I'm getting up there in age and my needs are becoming a little bit more and more. And it's interesting to think of that, you know, there coming a time when the Lord says, okay, I need you and I'm calling you. And you just pick up and leave. I don't know if that's going to be the case. But there was a time when I felt like I couldn't ever let go of my house. Because I had put so much work and effort into it. And I wanted to be able to show the Lord that I was a good steward. But at the same time, if he had called me and needed me, that I could walk away and do what he needs me to do. And I have finally come to the point that I can do that. And that's what the events of last year and January were for me. It was a growth spurt. Spiritually, temporally, it was a growth spurt. And it depends on how we respond to it. How the conclusions are going to, what the outcome is going to be. And thankfully, the gospel has taught me, and maturation, wisdom has taught me. I have a great support network around me, which side of things to go on. Even though I don't always make the right decision, eventually I get there. Sometimes I make the wrong decision once, twice, three times, eventually I get there. Sometimes I make the decision immediately. And I'm sorry for the background noise. There is a siren and I apologize. But my husband has been a blessing to my life, and I am someone that needs help to walk the covenant path, at least for right now. And the Lord knew that, and he gave me a wonderful companion. I don't know if in the future that's going to be the case. I always ask the Lord to help me to be able to rely on him, to be able to be faithful to him and not need others, because I don't want to be fearful. But my relationship with, in all of its beauty, lacks certain things because of our mental health challenges. Now, just trying to keep the integrity of our marriage private at the request of my husband, but also still continue to be true to myself and share. You know, things have been very tough in our marriage. His mental illness is an ever-present OCD alien, anxiety ball. And we had a very tough last weekend, Easter weekend. I don't know why the holidays always have to be such crud for us, but they are. And his OCD always reels its ugly face on holidays and Sundays, and I just get so sick of it. But that sick of it attitude never helps the situation. It always makes the situation worse. But granted, I can only handle it so much. And this is where therapy is key. We must take advantage of the resources that God has given us here on earth. the medications, the therapies, the practitioners, and be wise. And also look to the Lord to guide us through these processes, to guide us to the right practitioners and therapists, to help us to find the right medications. So here's two examples I want to share. I had received a priesthood blessing a couple months ago, and when I sat down to get the priesthood blessing, I looked up at my dad and I said, "Can you please include this in the blessing that I will be able to identify what the issues are and then be able to find the solutions to those issues?" In particular, not just for my marriage, but also for my health. And that has come to light and fruition repeatedly over the last couple of months. I have been able to be led to answers for several things that are major in my life that I've been dealing with that have been great solutions for me. And not always the right solution, but it has been a step in the right direction. And so it's been an awesome learning experience. But what just a sweet honey sing-song experience to work with the Spirit. It's been such an education. One time, the second experience I would like to share with you is another time I was driving in the car and I was really pouring my heart out to Father in Heaven and saying, you know, you've got me with this man, you know how I am, and yet we've got this certain, you know, portion of our marriage that's just lacking, like, what do you expect from me? I am not a saint. I'm not a perfect person. I'm not you. So how do you expect me to continue to live this way for several more decades? And the inspiration that came back to me was to basically to look to Christ and everything, to be his. Whatever I cannot get from my husband at that time, I am to look to Christ for. And I said, I don't understand how I'm supposed to do that. And he said, I will be there every single time that you need me. So this is me paraphrasing it in my own words, but I had to work very hard at figuring out what that meant. And what that has meant is he has been very present through my interactions with my social media, what I've been paying attention to, what I've been choosing to interact with on social media, on the TV, going to YouTube, the channels, the things that I'm listening to. I have podcasts like Comeback Podcasts, Unshaken Saints, constantly on the background, you know, playing. I've got his picture that I put up, you know, over the kitchen sink while I'm cooking and doing dishes. And I just look at his eyes. I look at his picture and I think about him. And I make him very present in my life. And it's really helped me with the hard times in my relationship with my husband because of the mental health challenges. So my greatest desire is that anything that I've shared here today, that the Spirit can help you figure out how you can use my testimony, my faith, and my experiences to bless your life. That the Spirit can guide your mind, your heart, and your soul to know how to bless your life and bring you peace, bring you comfort, and to find the Lord's grace. For me, the talk that really struck me from this last conference that ties into the topic of this episode is trusting the doctrine of Christ. And this talk was given by Elder Evan A. Schmutz, who is of the 70. And he says, when we have built our houses on the foundation of a covenantal relationship with Christ, we are trusting the doctrine of Christ. And he uses the analogy of trusting Christ like so deeply that he is in the marrow of our bone. And I love that analogy because it's truly this deep, deep relationship that we build with him, that we personalize that we look to Him, that we focus throughout our day on the Savior for our needs, for our strength, for whatever we lack, that He can strengthen us and make up the difference and help us to truly live by faith. Elder Schmutz moves on to say that in his mind's eye, I see the aging prophet Nephi at his desk, the plates of gold spread before him, his stylus in hand. Nephi was in the process of finishing his last engraving on the record, and he wrote, "And now, my beloved brethren, I make an end of my sayings." But soon after, the Spirit urged Nephi to return to his record and write a concluding message. Under the powerful influence of the Holy Ghost, that great prophet took his stylus again in hand and wrote, "Wherefore the things I have written sufficeth me, save it be a few words I must speak concerning the doctrine of Christ." How eternally grateful we are for those few words and for the Spirit compelling Nephi to write them. Nephi's treatise on the doctrine of Christ is a treasure to those who feast upon it, and it contains a vision of the Savior's baptism and the voice of the Son inviting all to follow Him and do the things which we have seen Him do. It contains Nephi's witness that those who, with faith in Christ, sincerely repent of their sins and follow the Savior into the waters of baptism, who will receive the Holy Ghost, yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost. We also hear the voice of the Father bearing record, "Yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." So these are simple teachings, yet ring true and bring a lot of comfort and saving grace to our lives and help us. President Russell M. Nelson emphasized the singular importance of the doctrine of Christ. During remarks to newly called mission leaders, he says, "More than anything else, we want our missionaries to have the doctrine of Christ engraved in their hearts, rooted in the marrow of their bones." Preach My Gospel summarizes five important elements of the doctrine of Christ, and it says, "We invite others to come unto Christ by helping them receive the restored gospel through faith in Jesus Christ and His atonement, repentance, baptism, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end." I'd like to take a break from the talk and discuss, because faith in Jesus Christ, His atonement, repentance, baptism, when we look at this, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end, this is the formula. This is the doctrine, and it is simple. But it is hard to live. And this is the refiner's fire process. This is where we become like Christ and our Heavenly Father. This is the wonderful divine opportunity that we're given. This is also the freedom that we have in the beautiful gospel, to be free of the pains and the sorrows and the sins and the things that we will acquire, the ick that we pick up inevitably living in this world. And the beauty of the gospel is that we can wash away the ick and the heaviness of the weight of the ick and the sins and the mistakes, the heaviness of living in this fallen world, in this fallen body, the receiving of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost. There was a meme that I had put up this week on Instagram that was such a good reminder that the Spirit's constant companionship is one of the greatest gifts of mortality. And that again is coming from President Russell M. Nelson. Is he not a prophet for our day? You can see how he's truly being preserved for us in these latter days. And he is helping us to draw closer to Christ, to be solely focused on the Savior. And why? Because all of our answers, everything that we need, comes from Him. So turning back to this talk, he continues to say the importance of the doctrine of Christ is not just for the missionaries. It's much more profound than a mere summary repetition of its five key elements. It encompasses the law of the gospel, and it's the great plan for eternal life. Sidebar here, eternal life, we are a gospel that's filled with eternal truths. And this is what we talk about, that when we say that we are part of the true church, that we have all truth, that we are part of the true church here on earth, is that we have all truth that comes from Christ, because he is the leader. This is his gospel, his church, his doctrine, and we are his body, as we are his church, his congregation, his disciples. So this elder goes on to say that if we are to accept President Nelson's invitation to have the doctrine of Christ rooted in the very marrow of our bones, we have to deepen our conversion to the Lord. And he says that we do that by studying, by being prayerful and faithful living and continual repentance. And I got to tell you, I have, you know, been really struggling with my life and how to deal with it. And I believe that we continue to be faithful and active even as we reconcile the things that we're looking to correct, that we are looking to purge in our lives and make right. So whatever we're working on, whether that be a word of wisdom issue, a chastity issue, whether that be something that's covenantal in our marriage, whatever the case may be, let's stay true to our covenants. Let's stay true to continuing to push forward in our relationship with the Lord while we continue to progress and become better, knowing that that is not going to be a simple process. There are going to be times that we take a couple steps back and 10 steps forward and 20 steps back and 2 steps forward. And it's okay, because we have this wonderful gift of the infinite atonement from our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. So we must invite the Holy Ghost to engrave this doctrine of Jesus Christ on the fleshy tables of our hearts, as deeply and as permanently as it was engraved by Nephi upon the plates of gold. Going back to the talk, he says last October that President Nelson had asked, what does it mean to overcome the world? Among other things, he said it means trusting the doctrine of Christ more than the philosophies of men. Are you trusting the doctrine of Christ more than the philosophies of men? And I want to ask you this question. Are you trusting the doctrine of Christ more than you're trusting the philosophies of your own mind? This is something I have struggled with in the last year, year and a half. And I've learned. Moving on, the word trust is defined as an assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. That someone is Jesus Christ and that something is his doctrine. You can trust him and his doctrine. So how would intentionally trusting the doctrine of Christ change the way that we live our lives? If we trust the doctrine of Christ, we will trust Christ enough to live by his every word. We will make a lifelong study of Jesus Christ, his ministry, his teachings, and his infinite atonement, including his glorious resurrection. We will study his promises and the conditions upon which those promises are given. And as we study, we will be filled with greater love for the Lord. The Lord's bowels are filled with mercy. He loves you. If there was ever a time in your life that you have wanted to get your patriarchal blessing or your temple recommend and was unsure of your worthiness, go talk to your bishop. He is there to love you and support you. And I have never had a bad experience with any of my bishops, I've got to say. I've had experiences where they've been maybe firm with me, and it was a blessing to me. Okay? We must be able to be humble and teachable and submissive as well. But if you have a desire, a righteous desire, please pursue that desire. Because I got to tell you, I did it myself. I was unsure. With some of my prescriptions, I was unsure. And yet I knew that the bishop was familiar and had already given me approval and everything was fine. But I needed to know. I needed that. I needed to hear from my bishop. And of course, he said everything is fine. And so I quickly, after hearing from him, set up the Bishopric Temple Recommend interview today and got in there very quickly. And we'll meet with my Sikh Presidency Counselor tomorrow. And I expect everything to go well and to get my Temple Recommend. And I want to say this to you. If you have any doubts about your ability to receive the love and mercy of your Heavenly Father and your Savior Jesus Christ, to partake of all that they have available for you here on earth, please go to your bishop. He will guide and help you to be able to partake in these wonderful blessings that will be such a added resource and asset to your life. Continuing on, if we trust the doctrine of Christ, we will approach our Heavenly Father every single day in humble secret prayer, where we can express gratitude for the gift of His Son and for all of our blessings. We can pray for the revelatory companionship of the Holy Ghost. Pray to align our will with His. Pray to reflect upon our covenants and renew our commitment to keep them. We can pray to sustain and express love for our prophets, seers, and revelators. Pray for the cleansing power of forgiveness, and pray for the strength to resist temptation. He goes on to say, I invite you to make prayer a priority in your life, seeking each day to improve your communication with God. You know what? I can definitely give Him more time and pray more often. And I'm grateful for these reminders. If we trust the doctrine of Christ, we will set aside the shiny things of the world so that we can focus on the Redeemer of the world. We will limit or eliminate time spent on social media, digital games, wasteful, excessive, or inappropriate entertainment, and the allure of this world's treasures or vanities, and any other activities that give place to the false traditions and misguided philosophies of men. For it is only in Christ that we find truth and lasting fulfillment. I have seen repeatedly in my tiny family that is filled with men that they go and they look to other sources besides Christ to self-medicate or find ways to deal with the heart in their life, because they have a lot of responsibilities providing for their families. Don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting in judgment, okay? But I'm an intelligent person that can recognize that when we make wrong choices, that it does not bless our lives, therefore it does not bless our family. But when we can make these right choices that are good for us, hence good for our families, oh my gosh, the blessings is truly like that pebble that hits that pond and that ripple effect. And we need to do more of that. Our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, they need it. And they're looking to us to be that pebble for good. We must have sincere daily repentance. And when we do sincere daily repentance, it is ensured that we will become joyful. And that will be a joyful part of our lives, because we will feel the release from the ick, from the sin, from the mistake, from the sadness, and from the sorrow. Both to be given for forgiven for the sin and to be changed in the image of Christ. And that is what repentance does, is it changes your heart. It changes your being. It changes yourself. And this is something that I've seen in my younger son, who has been entreatable with the Lord, who has been reading the Book of Mormon, who has been more open to the godly sources. And hence, he's cursing less. He is more at peace with his life and the decisions that he's making in his future. And these are the changes that happens when you invite the Spirit of God into your life and you exercise faith. President Dallin H. Oaks has taught that when the Savior forgives us, he does more than cleanse us from sin. He also gives us a renewed strength. So each one of us needs the strength to keep the commandments of God and to fulfill the eternal purpose of our lives. In Jesus and in his doctrine, we find strength. And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine. And whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against them." And we see this promise fulfilled in the lives of many faithful people. And my greatest wish is that you can see this and have this in your life repeatedly, over and over, in the ways that you need it most. And I will leave this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't give up. Please continue to push and endure as our Savior's asked us to do, because he knows that we can do it. He has faith in us. So let us have faith in ourselves and use the information and the guidance and the revelation and inspiration that we're getting for ourselves personally and from our leaders to focus on the Savior. Use the strength and power that comes from the priesthood and the covenants that we keep to bless our lives and to stay true and to stay on that path and to strengthen ourselves, because things are hard and they are going to get harder. But God and Christ are there, and they are working miracles, and they are blessing the lives of all of the righteous, and they are there for you even when you make mistakes. They know your heart and they love you, and mercy abounds, and they are waiting upon you. They love you so very much, I promise. You can do this. If I can do this, anyone can do this. They are not waiting for you to be perfect to approach the throne. They say, "Come as you are, and let's do this together." Until next time, much love. Please stay healthy. Stay safe. And most importantly, stay faithful. And remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. I'm hoping to have a surprise guest here very soon who is super inspirational and very excited. And he will be on in the next episode or two, so there's a lot to look forward to. Thanks for joining us. Much love and God bless. And don't forget, you can always DM me at Instagram at LDSRPRL Podcast. You can also reach out to me on TikTok at LDSRPRL Podcast, or you can email me at LDSRealPeopleRealLives@gmail.com. Until next time.